The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Thursday, and Linda has, she's going to be out at Wind River tonight, and it's Romance on the River with her band out at the Wind River and the Elements Lounge. We're going to have a great time out there. Get out there around 6, and then so you can have dinner, and then just listen and dance to Linda and her band's music from 7 to 9 a.m. So that's where she is, but it's Thursday, and Trish Clark is always here with me.
Good morning, North State.
Hey, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. And there's Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
Good morning.
You're feisty this morning. It's getting cooler, so you're out
there.
Yes,
I don't do well in the brutal summer.
Yeah, chasing squirrels around the yard and all that.
Wildlife in abundance right now out there. It was interesting.
That's right, you know. Okay, now.
It's 68 degrees in downtown Reddy. It's sunny with a high near 89 degrees today. North to northwest winds a little, clear with a low tonight about 59. It's sunny with a high near 92 on Friday, and going to warm up through the weekend in the mid-90s again. So we're not through with summer as yet. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta gas propane customer, and it's going to be warm here soon. They have locally owned and they're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793, and boy, I can't hardly read from that distance.
I'll hold it up to you like that. Okay. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning.
I'm looking at the door and the time, and the Bob says, oh no, she'll be here. She'll be here. And so then we started getting your place ready here.
And I just walked in and walked to the mic, right?
Came through like a hurricane.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening today. We're having Ashley Swearingen, statewide candidate for comptroller, is going to join us
at about
7:45. We also have Brad Long, who's got the Veterans Resource Center. We want to talk about things going on with veterans, but we have a lot of other things to talk about today, too. And one of them, of course, right at the top of the list, and I waited, even though I mentioned it a little bit, was in Selma's.
Finally, we've gotten board approval.
Yeah. So what's it mean, though? Okay, board approval.
So basically what needed to happen after the Anselmos and the county reached an agreement to cease and desist all the lawsuits and reached an agreement that they were going to legitimize all of the present facilities up at Anselmo Vineyards and then move forward with a rezone which would incorporate those buildings which needed to be rezoned to become legal and also allow for an 18-room boutique hotel and spa. So they've done what they call a commercial recreation district on top of agricultural zoning. Only those things specific to that area and agricultural zoning can be there. And at this point, the only things that can be built there is an 18-room boutique hotel and spa. Everything else will be legitimized.
Okay. Now,
when you said commercial recreation district, I started thinking of all the grows around town. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Now, here's the thing is it was voted in 3-2.
Yes.
Now, Leonard Modi, I saw his reasonings for it, and he said, frankly, I mean, according to the paper, he said he thought it should be what the planner said, and it should go along the divisions that the planner said with the 38 acres.
Well, then they should have left it at the 67 acres, which was where we started a month and a half ago.
Right, but he wasn't against it happening. He thought it just should be bigger, which is kind of a strange reason to vote against it. But.
And that's exactly right, and I'm not probably at this point even going to go into the mechanisms of actually getting board approval. I'm just going to simply say that we're awfully glad that, in fact, we finally came through with a 3-2 vote, whatever. Should have been a 5-0 vote. Should have happened a month and a half ago. Should have happened a long time ago. Well, but having said we're happy it's good.
There was some headbutting going on back there from both sides. But the thing is it all started over something, frankly, that
shouldn't have happened in Shasta County.
It shouldn't have happened to Shasta County. It shouldn't have. And you know what? And if we can go back and argue a bit, it shouldn't have happened to Anselmo when this thing first started. From then on, it snowballed and it grew and, you know, and then it became who could,
There's a Navy term for it, but I can't use it
there
here.
Is, but the bottom line is now we can move forward. I say we, meaning Shasta County, everybody, and now that auction is going to take place the 23rd, right?
You know, the people have to understand that I don't think they get the message that has been sent to the rest of the world about how difficult it is to do business in Shasta County. So we're anxious to continue the operation that's up there, expand on it, build this hotel and spa. The auction will go forward. Hopefully the new owner will come in and build on the wonderful, magnificent venue that has been started up there.
I just hope John Stadelli stays.
Well,
if they don't keep John Stadelli, it's a huge mistake. That man has become, he is Northern California famous for the great food he puts out there.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And I want to assure everybody, because I continue to have people ask me, are they still open? Are they still doing events? And yes, they are. They're open. You could still schedule your wonderful weddings and all of those marvelous special events up there. They're still the same hours where they're doing wine tasting and go up and take a look. If you haven't been up to Anselmo Vineyards, you need to take the time to do it, because you're going to be amazed at something that wonderful, exists in Shasta County.
And if for some reason you just don't like Rivera's Anselmo, he's not there.
Yeah, get over it.
Get over it and just go up. Just go up and enjoy it. I mean, pizza on Thursday night. Tonight's pizza. Except tonight, Linda's at Wind River. And, you know, pizzas can go to hell. But Linda's going to be out there. You get filet mignon out at Wind River for about the same price as you do a pizza.
Yeah. Well,
kidding. It is. You know, if you haven't gone out there, you need to go out there for lunch. I mean, it is a wonderful
brunch on Sunday.
Oh, great.
Just go out for
big commercial.
Right. It's an important thing. I'll make one final thing.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of people employed up there. The county is receiving a tremendous amount of income from that venue. And the wine industry in Northern California can be huge. This is the start of it. We now have two AVAs. So I want to just encourage everybody to remember this is a big deal and a huge step forward for Shasta County.
Now, the AVA is a viticultural association, and it's a designation given by the United States government on an area where they grow and they produce wine, and it's got to have certain qualities and all of this. And what this does is people from all over the world, when they see AVAs, they travel to those areas.
Absolutely.
So that they can taste the wines. And you've got this whole area up here so they can taste the wines, not only in Anselmo's but other places. But it brings in people to stay here.
Yeah.
So that's another big thing. Okay.
It is.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's with just absolutely fabulous coffee. And walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. All types of electronic cigs and flavors and sizes and any type of tobacco accoutrements you could possibly want. Drinks, wines, beer, everything at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Trish Clark and I, we'll be right back. We want to talk about what happened with the accusations in the blog and Brent Weaver. Brent was on yesterday. We want to talk about that and what's happened since then. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Shelley is grateful for birthdays and girlfriends. Her friend Laura encouraged her to get a mammogram on her birthday at MD Imaging's Women's Imaging Center. The Women's Imaging Center's devotion to women's health and quality images makes MD Imaging the right choice. Now, Shelley visits MD Imaging every year on her birthday. From our new 3D mammography screening to ultrasound, breast MRIs to biopsies, MD Imaging is defining what's next.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Trash it, change it, mail upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl Butt, Trish Clark, 2 o'clock with the 2nd of October. 7:18 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room. Good morning, Angel, Dan, Sungold. This portion of the show, of course, is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Lighty is teaching concealed carry, rifle classes, pistol classes, hunting classes, all of this. He and his instructors, all of them are NRA, National Rifle Association trained professionals. And for a limited time, Ted and NFI, Northern Firearms Instruction, will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for any Shasta County resident who takes a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. That's 530-999-1822. Bob?
As somebody who's taken a couple of Ted's courses now, I will say he is probably the best instructor. I mean, he's a great guy, no nonsense when you're on the range, which you have to be when you're dealing with deadly weapons. But my wife and I both thoroughly enjoyed taking Ted's courses, including the personal defense course.
There you go. And there you've got the just give him a call. And he has women's only courses. They have advanced courses. They have all that. Okay, Trish Clark is here with me. Let's talk a little bit about Brent Weaver and this accusation that came rolling through here yesterday. In fact, it hit day before yesterday at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And essentially what it says is that Weaver did not disclose his contributors at a golf tournament he put on. And that the money was quote, run through Weaver Lumber.
Yeah.
And so it just happened, you know, by coincidence. Maybe it wasn't coincidence. They released it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But Brent was on our show yesterday, and you can go back to our archives, and I'm going to go back to the archives, and you can listen to the show. It starts about 5 minutes into the second hour, about 8:05 in the morning, and we talked about it. And the questions I asked him were, okay, what is this about? And he explained that they had a golf tournament. It was before they had the money set up for, you know, and his funds
before
for money.
Before he had the account set up.
And he talked to the elections commission. He's got a trail of not only phone records, but also emails going back and forth with the, what is that, the FPPC. And they said, no, it's fine. You can do that. You can run it this way. And he was given the, you know, they just did what they were told to do. This is what he says. Of course, the blog says that he was trying to hide his donors and he was trying to run the money through there. Well, the guy that wrote it's Red Smith. And I called Red yesterday and I asked Brent, I said, did Red Smith call you about this story? And Brent said he did not call me. Nobody called me. They just went with this.
Uh-huh.
Well, I talked to Red. Well, Red called me and I said, and I asked him, Red, you didn't call it. You should have called him. Well, and there was, you know, he had his, you know, there was no real reason for it except they thought they had it to break the story, then it was going to break someplace else. But I said, are you going to talk to Weaver now? He said, absolutely. And it's indicated is that they've called and they've linked up and he's going to show him, Brent's going to show him the stuff. And as Reddit said, that if he's wrong about this, they'll retract the story.
Okay.
But the donors, which was one of the big things, how come you're trying to keep all the donors, donors and who signed up for your golf tournament secret? He put the names on his website yesterday. Brent Weaver did. He said, I didn't think I had to, but here they were available, and here they are. And he put them all up there, everybody that was in the tournament. So all those donors are out. And then there was other things said in the blog that were kind of personal attacks, which I didn't think was a place in there for if you're going to talk about this happened, it's not a spot for personal attacks. Anyway, so that's where they are. Of course, they hit the front page of the Record Searchlight. So what I told, and I've told Reddy, is more than welcome to come on the show, but I want to have something from the FPPC.
Exactly.
Because Red is the one that reported it. FPC, and he says the FPPC says, oh, there's something here. Well, Weaver's campaign says there's nothing there, and we've got the people's names that we talk to. Frankly, I would love to talk to the FPPC, whoever's handling this, and have them on the air and just say, okay, what do you think? Now, being investigated? I don't know if it's being investigated because, as it says in the article, the FPC takes it, doesn't make any comments on it, and in a couple of weeks it'll come out and say it's either nothing or they're going to investigate it. So meanwhile, that's where we are right now, I believe.
Well, and it would have been nice if the two parties – I always – you know, when you start doing stuff like that, I wish you had called him to begin with and discussed it. And then if he still disagreed,
then
go ahead and write the article. But at least get the input and maybe find out that there is something there. If you know, that's always a difficult decision about what monies are – how – if you do something like a golf tournament or a fundraiser prior to the time you filed your papers, it's real sketchy ground trying to figure out how to report the money.
Well, here's the thing. You have to, you know, why would somebody do something nefarious early in the campaign that there's people looking at them? Why would you do something? Because this seems to be something like big. You know, okay, I'm just going to hide all this money. I mean, how do you hide $13,000 in a golf tournament?
Well, and the problem with that kind of stuff, though, is that it sticks. You will remember that all of the allegations about Anselmo's money in elections and off the top of the front page, every time he made a donation. And while there was absolutely nothing wrong with any of the donations he made, and other people make those kind of donations all the time, just the mere mention of it put a taste in people's mind that there was somehow something the matter with him spending his money that way. And there was nothing to it.
And by the way, for the comment in here, why does the Tea Party think they can throw that? It's Tea Party's distancing themselves from this. They said, that's not our position. This is a position from Red Smith and the Lantern, Shasta Lantern. He may be a member of the Tea Party, but it isn't a Tea Party position. So you need to understand that. Even though that members of or people that write for their are associated with the Shasta Lantern are also associated with the Tea Party, but I'm sure they're also associated with people for ethical treatment of animals too. But it doesn't mean that. Okay, man, that's probably the wrong one. You know, for something, the SPCA or something like that. Okay. Bottom line is
something else.
Bottom line is that I absolutely believe that the author of the piece should have talked to Weaver. They could have gotten together and either solved it, or at least he could have come back in with some strength. Right now, Weaver says he never talked to me. Here's the information. Here's the donors. Boom. And unfortunately, it was, you know, it's like,
oh,
we had to break this. We had to break this before the Record Searchlight. And as I pointed out, Record Searchlight, I believe, would have called Weaver and said.
And the FPPC and made sure that the two cases are going. I will say that, you know, you sometimes do get misinformation from FPPC, depending upon who you talk to on what day of the week. It's a government agency.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is because I've called different agencies. I mean, you can call an IRS agent. You know, you get calling at 809. You can ask. You can call them, talk to one. 5 minutes later, call back and talk to another one. Get exactly different information.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, here's one of those things. Well, he told me this. Well, the other people, well, I've got this in writing. They told me this. So, I just don't, you know, I just think is that it could have been the writing of it and the research of it should have been done a lot differently.
Make sure your story's right before you put it out there.
Absolutely. And if there was any doubts after talking to him, then, you know what? Hey, I don't believe that. Boom. You put it in after conversations.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like it smacks of politics, and I'm gonna hit you right as the ballots come out, the mail-in ballots come out.
Right. Well, and certainly the what people don't understand is when they do stuff like that, the candidates that this organization, the Tea Party or Red are supporting, now they become suspect because their names get drug into it as well, and people start assuming, well, it's the people running their campaigns that are bad-mouthing somebody else. I wish that at least at the local level we could choose to take the high road from time to time, prove our facts before we come out and throw them around.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, is when you think this in City Hall for Red, it's an unpaid position. And yes, it means a lot, the things that are going on. But it also means it's even more important because it's a small town and that we need to work together is that we check our facts. You know, a lot of times people tell me things. I get told a lot of things. I said, fine, show me, prove it to me. Prove that, what you just said to me. And if they can't, oh, I heard this, or they give me a source. I've had sources that for the first two paragraphs, I'm just like, oh, hey, it's here. And then it gets to the third paragraph to tie it together. It is so bad and so wrong, just by checking, you know, basically checking the facts, that I would never use it. So, you know, anytime that I would work, you know, anytime I'm going to write something on somebody running for office or talk about it, I'd research it. I'd get them on the phone. And only if I tried and they refused to come on the phone to talk about it, that point, that's right at the beginning of the story. Tried to talk to him and he refused to talk about it.
But, yeah, well, here's what I think is the case and he didn't want to refute it. So maybe it's true. I think that it's important.
The writer of it didn't want to talk to him.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Not that Weaver didn't want to talk.
No. I'm just saying, if that's when you're going with the story, you know, a lot of times, and you're right, we get emails on a regular basis. We get information that comes out. And when you first start looking at it, you think, wow, if that's true. And then because I think we have a basic distrust of our government at this point in our lives, we're kind of anxious to believe a lot of stuff that somebody says about something that's going on at any level of government. But it does you well to check it out if it's really flagrantly suspicious and get to the bottom of it.
All right. Well, we've talked Anselmo. We've talked Weaver. I hope that answers everybody's questions. If anybody has any more questions about this, in the chat room, just let us know and we'll try to address them, or I'll put you to the people that can talk about it. Carl Bott and Trisha Clark here on a Thursday, October the 2nd, 7:29 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after that. Let's talk about Happy Valley fires. You know, how come we're not using all 425 beds in the jail and illegal camps?
425 beds in the jail.
Yeah. Let's talk about that when we come back.
I'm Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, Jeff at Crackmaster. Who's better than that at doing windshields? That's right. He offers a full guarantee. And Jeff Wurst, a veteran, fixes anything from chips, little bitty chips, to cracks over 24 inches in length. Give him a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Redding. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Did I mention that Linda has is going to be at Wind River tonight at the Elements Lounge with her band, Romance on the River. You can't get anything better than that. Romance on the River. Give them a call. If I don't know. I'm sure that they can, you know, if you just want tables and stuff like that, you probably can still get in. So give them a call at 243-3377 and ask to speak to Elements Lounge. And they've got it all set up out there, and it's going to be really going to be cool. And, you know, and Wind River is taking a bunch of steps forward, as you know, this year with the non-smoking and the, you know, the new hotel and everything.
It's, so the music is from 7 to 9, and then so you could get there like at 6 to have dinner before the
5:30,
show?
5:30, 6, have dinner, sit back, kick back. If you don't want to have dinner, you just come in for the music. Just come on in, and you can dance. They've got it set up so you can dance, too. But it's going to be a night of really, really fun. And Rick Hill, Linda's favorite guitar accompanist, is going to be there, and he's going to come up and play also.
Good. It's going to be a fun evening. Of those of you who have not enjoyed that kind of a scenario and venue with Linda Bott and her band, you're in for a big treat.
Absolutely. The other thing, too, is Aaron Ryan had nothing to do. Oh, okay. Oh, Rally's in here. Okay. Rally Sally. Good morning, Rally Sally. And Aaron Ryan didn't have anything to do with the writing of the, because Aaron Ryan is known to be, you know, with the Tea Party. Had nothing to do with writing the article or sending the email. All right.
And it was all over the airwaves. There's no question about that. But, you know, in this information age that we live in, you better be careful what you're putting out there is accurate, because it goes really quick.
It goes
really
around
far.
And it comes back, too. Hey, by the way, we changed, of course, we changed our lineup as of yesterday. Laura Ingram follows us, and then a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey is on the air, a super financial expert and a philosopher, economic philosopher, and all those different types of things. Second highest rated radio personality in the nation. He's got the second most number of radio stations in the country that have him on. And then, of course, Mark Levin with his, "Oh, why are you talking about things?" And I do my Mark Levin. I love Mark Levin. He'll be sitting there talking, you're kind of listening, and next thing you know, he's in your ears. And then he's in your head. Screaming, of course, then Sullivan, Hitchcock, and more. And we still have, and we, right here at KCNR 1460, right here, your community radio station, has more local talk radio shows than anywhere else in Northern California. Maybe California, period.
Yep.
Local shows. Okay. Big news that's old was on the front page of the Record Searchlight. About the
not so big.
It's not really big news that we've got 425 beds, but they only use 381 of them. And the reason is?
The reason is because those are state standards that we have to live by. We can only have so many beds in the jail. And this is not new news. This happened when we established the bed quota back in, 25 years ago. We actually had to sue the Board of Supervisors, as I remember. It was a friendly suit, but we had to sue the sheriff to get the court to establish a state-allowed bed minimum. And so it was a friendly suit, but that's actually how it occurred, and there is a bed cap, and that you can't not exceed it. And it's based on the standards that they set. And in reality, you could probably double the space in there if they'd let you bunk them, and they used to accuse Jim Pope of stacking them like cordwood in the jail, but it seems to me that it would make sense to put more people in there, but we can't do it under state standards.
Well, it is, and so, you know, but it still doesn't go back. We go back to Measure F about the sales tax. I'm talking to Frank Strazzarino of the Chamber of Commerce. He's going to be on here on the 13th, along with the head of the Builders Exchange, and they're going to talk about why they're backing this and the other measures that they're backing. The bottom line on this is we still are going to need a place to hold all these people that we pick up. We still need that, and it's not going to address that, but it will. And maybe it will put more police on the street. Maybe it will. Maybe we can move some people out of the county jail, more people out of the county jail that we can then fill up. But it's the bottom line is putting that 200 people away that Sheriff Tom Bosinko has been talking about for years, to put in, hold them, arrest them, and then hold them till they go to court.
So that they can't just go out and reoffend.
As the paper did point out, we're turning 344 loose a month. 344 loose a month. Now, good news is that the police are going after the illegal camps. In this case, it's behind the Masonic Lodge. And here's the scary part. This is exactly what I've been talking about for months, is it wasn't an illegal camp. It was a series of camps, 25 of them, including, besides just open fires, generators. A generator that they use for lights. A generator. A generator is something that you carry in, you put gas in, you start it up, and now you have electricity. I know we all know what a generator is, but that's in the illegal camp.
Wow.
A generator. Open fires, generator, lights, trash, garbage, tons of it. This is not a big surprise. What to me is when they go into one and they find 25 of them. That's what the problem is. When you get into those kind of camps, we get into that subculture. What Chris Schwager was set right here
exactly
3 weeks ago or a month ago and talked about was illegal camps that they have no respect for anything going on around them. and that they will destroy. They will, whatever they're at, they will destroy.
And they're camped on. There's just not a few of them. There are several in different locations throughout Shasta County. They're next to waterways. They're next to drainage. They're causing havoc out there. And we've only begun to see the effects of it, and now it's starting to come to light. But when it gets winter, and all of this stuff is where are all these people that have dug in out there? Where are they going to go then?
Well, then they go south to San Diego.
We hope.
Here's what you hope for is we start pushing and pushing on these illegal camps. And that's what we got to start calling them, illegal camps. They're there illegally. And if they are in private property, you have code enforcement go out there and you find out who owns this land and you send them a letter and you say you've got to clean up your property. And you need to clean it up because it is a threat to the environment or it's a threat to the city. You need to clean it up. We have 30 days to do it. At the end of 30 days, you're going to get a letter that says, fine, then we're going to clean it up and charge you a bill.
It's
going to be a minimum of $10,000.
Then that's exactly what you can do. The agencies can, once they've given notice, they can go in and they can clean it up and they can put a lien on their property
They
tax.
Don't even have to give them a notice. If it's private property owners can go in there and move them right there.
Well, private properties can clean their own property up immediately.
That's right. But if they don't, it's still private property. Okay, so give them a notice. But then you charge the private property owners that own this because they haven't done it. Now, some of them live in New York or Florida or some other place.
Absentee owners.
Maybe they don't even know about it. Well, that's why you've got to find out who owns it. You send them that letter and say, and if the city was smart, if you want us to do it, it's going to cost you this much. If not, here's the name of, and you give them a name of somebody that will go in and clean it up. A list of people that will go in and clean up the place, and then they've done what they're supposed to do. It's cleaned up, and then they keep it cleaned up. And, you know, the first time, if you don't do it, we're going to clean it. It's going to cost you this much money. Next time, we're going to do it, and it's going to cost you this much more money and a fine. All that kind of stuff.
You know, and there is the issue of the absentee ownership in Shasta County. A lot of these big swaths of land next to freeways and a lot of the places where they are owned by absentee owners.
Well, you got to go after them. That's the only way you're going to fix it. Our guys are going after them in city land. You got to give them a warning. You got to hold their stuff for 90 days. Okay, that's fine. But what we need to do is more than one. You need to have like three or four policemen out there doing it, which is another reason to have more policemen. They hit two or three of these illegal camps and they move them. Out like that, and they just move them, and they just keep moving them until they move down the road. I'm sorry to say it like that, but you know, when you talk to the police and you talk to a lot of people, 90% of the problems we're having is illegal transits. Get rid of them. Homeless that need help, they can get help here.
Yes.
And we're more than happy to help. People that are whacked, that they've gone over the deep end, they can't ask for help because they can't do those things. They need to get help too. That is another story that we're going to have to get into. Is the ones out there that are mentally having problems.
You know, and there is a lot of that population that is being taken care of, and we need to help as many and as all of the people that can't help themselves. But there's not as many of those as we'd like to believe. There are a lot of people who choose this lifestyle, who are you indicating the illegals, and those need to be sorted out and moved on.
Okay, now here's a good question from Sonny. Sonny says, I asked this last week and I'll ask again. How is a private party supposed to clean out several homeless camps when they are going against druggies, mean dogs, filth? How does one do that? I think that you could call the police is one way of doing it and saying, I need this cleaned up and I am frightened for my property. I'm frightened if I go down there, something's going to happen to me. And then you call us. Right here at KCNR 1460. And then we lean into it, saying these people want this property cleaned and they need help. And it's up to the city. If it's in the city limits, guess what? I think they're going to find some people who can do it and go out there and start cleaning it. Because this is something they can do. You can't build a new jail immediately. Now, there's other things you could do that we need to move forward on. And we can't hire policemen immediately because Measure F hasn't happened. But I bet, you know, we put bicycle cops on the ground, even though that the Downtown Reading Business Association bought the bikes. I would think that we'd be able to put some force out there. If you can't do anything else, you can move illegals.
Yes.
The illegal camps.
Yeah.
You can do that.
And I'm pretty sure that any of the agencies that you call, if you're just not asking them to go in there and take it up, but I want to clean up my property, but I'm unable to do because I'm fearful for my life. I think that then they will come in and help you. And I think that would be true of any of the agencies, whether that's City of Anderson or City of Reading or the unincorporated county area.
The question is, a private company does not have the same restrictions as a public body. Your private land, you do not have the same restrictions. You can move people out. It's as Chief Paletti has said numerous times, the people that have these restaurants or businesses, that's their property. They can move those people out right then, where his police cannot move people off public property if they're just standing there but you can't. You, as a private property owner, you can, that's yours. You can have people off that. Tell them to move. I'm not moving. Great. Here comes the bulldozer. It's right behind you. See this bulldozer right behind me? Move your stuff. And then you go.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have to do it. And certainly if someone like Chris Waga can take control of her property as she's trying to do, the rest of them need to jump in there and be as brave as she's being.
If they are trespassing, the law has an obligation to act.
That's exactly right. It's my private property. I want these people off of here.
Thanks, LJS. All right. A lot of people in the chat room. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Trish Clark and myself, we're waiting for Ashley Swearingen to come in. You know why I'm calling her Swearinger? It's because of that TV series about Deadwood. Deadwood. Right. You know, Swearingen, that was in there. Anyway, she's running for state comptroller. They said she was running a little bit late, and we'll see if she makes it here today. Okay? We'll be right back. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypress or Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Ah yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. What a great day. October the 2nd. It's Thursday. It's going to be a great day today. It's 68 degrees right now, but it's supposed to be up, what, to the 90s today?
It's supposed to get up to 89 today.
Ooh, 89.
It is. And through the weekend, it's going to get warmer than that. We're going to get up into the 90s and 94 by Saturday. So we're not out of the weather yet. We're still getting into a early fall. It feels like in the morning, but by golly, during the day, we're still going to be heating up into the 90s.
Okay. Hey,
and the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts, and you can reach them at 365-3793.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
What's
hey,
up?
I was going to ask Trish, when they set up the drug task force here and they were coming through all the people from all the way down the southern part, going through the Seattle and B.C. up there, we're coming through here and we were hitting them and arresting them out here on the freeway out here on drugs and things.
Yes.
And then all them people were convicted and put in jail through Shasta County. When they got done, they had to release them back to Shasta County. Is that the reason why we have so many criminals in this town? Because we had so many criminals. I mean, Shasta County is supposed to have the most people going to prison.
Well, you know, and that certainly was a big part of what was happening. And I remember the discussion at the time. Because you're right. Wherever they had committed the offense was where they then were released back to. But I don't think that that's still the case now because they haven't been doing that big pickup of drugs on the freeway for a long time. And I think that was part of the reason why.
Yeah, but the people that, when they picked them up, you know, 15, 20 years ago, their times are up now. They're letting them back out.
Yeah, and they're also doing, they're also commuting some of the sentences. Hey, Jim, we've got our guest here in the studio, so thanks for the phone call, buddy.
But you make a good point.
It is a good point, and we'll talk more about that. Hey, I'm here, sitting here with Ashley Swearingen, who is running for state comptroller, or controller, I should say. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Good morning, Ashley.
We're dashing in at the last minute. In fact, a little bit late. We apologize. It's quite a commute from Fresno.
Yeah.
So it took me a little bit longer to get here.
Now, you turned Fresno around.
Yes, we have had an incredible journey in Fresno. And, you know, Fresno is now the fifth largest city in California. Just over 500,000 people live there. I was elected mayor in 2008, sworn in 2009, and ran on a jobs platform. My passion and my background is in working with small businesses and helping those businesses grow, and thought that I would have, you know, 8 years of time to work on the economy. And then, boom, the recession hit. And we learned that Fresno, in fact, was not prepared at all to handle the recession. It hit us harder in the Central Valley and in Inland California than in other places. And within, literally 3 weeks, we were dealing with our first budget shortfall. We ended up doing 10 budgets in 5 years and had to address about $120 million operating shortfall on top of finding negative fund balances in our treasury pool and all kinds of internal debt we had to pay off. But the good news is, after some very, very hard work, we have turned our finances around. In fact, all of our internal debt has been paid off about 8 years ahead of schedule.
How'd you do that?
We cut our expenses dramatically. We were very, very aggressive with cutting expenses and privatized some non-essential government services.
Like what?
Well, like picking up trash, which, believe it or not, trash is a very political issue.
It's a very union issue.
You know, it really came down to that in our community, and we started with our commercial solid waste, so the big bins that you see in shopping centers, that sort of thing. And our council approved that. It was a close vote. It was a 4-3 vote, but they approved it. We created a franchise, so we had private sector companies competing for those franchises, which generated some revenue for our general fund so that we could pay for police officers and firefighters and do the things that only the city can do. And I always told people, look, let's let the private sector do what the private sector knows how to do, and let's be the ones to answer 911 calls and, you know, anything with trucks and sirens and lights on. You know, we got to handle that. So got that passed, and everything went very smoothly with the transition, and our customers were very satisfied with the service they were receiving from the private sector. Then we attempted to do it with our residential solid waste as well. The council approved it, but Labor funded a signature collection effort and got enough signatures to block the council action. So we ended up going to a special election last June and lost that by just about 800 votes. So we still provide municipal residential trash collection in Fresno. But a combination of actions is what it took to get us through.
You took part of it out, and you saved that money. So this is, how about your unfunded liabilities?
In the city of Fresno, we have actually one of the best funded pension systems in the state. We're independent from CalPERS, and it was like the one bright spot in our financial portfolio that we didn't have to struggle with an unfunded liability there. But we have fairly significant infrastructure deficits like most cities in California. Frankly, as revenue started to come back over the last 12 to 16 months or so, we've seen revenues come back. We've kept our expenses flat so that all of that surplus money we could just use to pay off debt.
Ashley, as a state controller, what can you do to kind of – people seem to think that our economy here in the state of California is rosy. And I'm not sure that.
Well, those
true.
Of us who know it's bad don't know what the solution is. Maybe you can give us the solution.
Is there something you can do, like say you cannot leave the state of California no matter what? You've got to still leave your money here?
I'm thinking that might be a little difficult to pull off. We might not go there. But, you know, it's so funny because people across the political spectrum, on the far right are so overwhelmed with worry and concern about what to do with our economy that frankly they just throw their hands up, they leave the state or whatever. And sometimes people on the far, far left like to argue that there's no problem and that everything's fine. And I keep arguing for that happy middle where, you know, look, we identify the fact that there are significant problems with our competitiveness in California, but we can fix it, right? It's not a hopeless situation. However, I do think it's about a 20-year turnaround for our state. And, you know, frankly, that's exactly what I'd like to address as state controller. I think there's ways in which, first of all, not just auditing state government, which is a function of the state controller's office, but frankly, auditing our economy and our competitiveness as a state, reporting out on that on a regular basis and trying to drive a jobs plan in California.
You say there's billions of dollars in accounting errors and $100 million failed programs, $100 million of failed programs in the controller's office by themselves. Aren't they supposed to be the ones watching out for this?
Precisely. In fact, I've been saying the watchdog needs some watching. In this last year, the state auditor, which is a separate appointed government official in state government, every year the state auditor has several different functions of state government that she audits, and it happened to be the state controller's office's turn this go around. And so about 3 or 4 months ago, the state auditor released her report on this particular office. And yeah, this is to be the watchdog of the Treasury. And if you read that report, and it's worth the read, there are significant management challenges happening in that office. So one of the things I've said is right from the beginning, we need an outside management audit. If we want to have credibility with the information we're reporting to the public and to the legislature on the state's finances, we better have our house in order.
Ashley, I know that you drove all the way from Fresno to be here to be just on my show here with Trish Clark and myself. But what else are you doing around town here for today?
Well, yes. Besides this great opportunity to be with you guys, we're just reaching out through the media today. Frankly, we've got some opportunities to be on television in this community and in the surrounding area, and then we've got some gatherings with local political parties this afternoon, and then we'll head over to Santa Rosa and do the same, and then head back home to Fresno.
Okay, it's an uphill battle, but
Fresno to Redding to Santa Rosa—that's you can hardly get there from here.
It's a journey, literally and figuratively. But you know, we're actually doing quite well. Our own internal polls show that among high propensity voters, we're actually up just slightly over our Democrat challenger. So this is a race that we can win, but we need people to turn out. We need people in Shasta County and all in Northern California to turn out and vote. And of course, I would love to have their support.
Well, we're here with Ashley Swearingen. You know, every time I hear that last name, I go to Deadwood. You know,
yes,
of course.
I get that a lot. Yes.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
But that's good. Maybe we need somebody a little bit ruthless in there to do the right job.
I need to actually sit down and watch the show. As a working mom, I hardly have time to catch up on TV, but I've heard that it's a pretty incredible show.
Well, don't let the kids watch it.
Okay.
How can people get a hold of you and your campaign?
My website is Ashley, ASHLEYFOR4CA, California.com. Ashley for California.com.
Well, I tell you what, you're very impressive, and I really like the things that you're saying in on your website here, so we can find that. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Sorry we can't make a longer interview out of it, because there's a lot of questions I have in my mind. I know there's solutions to the issues in this state, and I think that perhaps a really strong conservative woman is the one to address them.
Thank you very much. Well, I'd be happy to call in and keep chatting. Well,
we'd like to do that and have you on for an entire hour with us talking about this
great.
As we get closer to the here in the next week or two, because the mail outs go out.
That's right. Okay? Thank you.
That'd be great.
Thanks a lot for being here with us, and thanks for what you want to do for our state.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, we'll be right back. Carl Bott, True Star, good God.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Officials at a Dallas hospital are reviewing protocols after its emergency room sent a man with Ebola home, even after he told a nurse he had recently arrived from West Africa. Infectious disease specialist Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, meanwhile, says he and other specialists all seem to agree that there will not be an Ebola outbreak in this country.
All of us in infectious disease and public health echo those sentiments. Ebola will not establish itself in the United States. Our facilities and our public health teams are much too good for that. It's very different than West Africa.
Meanwhile, a number of parents in the Dallas area keeping their children home from school after news that the man who did have Ebola is said to have had contact with school-age children after he was released from the hospital. A veteran Secret Service agent set to take over the agency as interim director.
The administration has announced that Joseph Clancy will serve as acting director of the U.S. Secret Service following Julia Pearson's resignation. Clancy is the retired head of the agency's Presidential Protective Division, the unit directly responsible for the president's safety.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. U.S. stocks stabilizing a day after a big plunge. A number of those collecting unemployment benefits at its lowest level in more than 8 years, and orders to U.S. factories down in August by the largest amount on record.
The Commerce Department says there was a 10.1% plunge in orders last month following a record 10.5% increase in July. Both months were heavily influenced by swings in demand for commercial aircraft. A key category which tracks business investment plans posted a slight increase that was viewed as an encouraging sign that factory production will maintain momentum in the second half of the year.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average opened up at 16,805. This is SRN News.
His insight on parenting has informed a generation. Now, Dr. James Dobson introduces his book and 8-part film series for a new generation, Building a Family Legacy. To celebrate this launch, you're invited to attend a free simulcast of the first film, titled Your Legacy, any night from October 1st through the 5th.
This film series represents a legacy of love and care that I've tried to leave to my own family.
For a location nearest you, go to buildingafamilylegacy.com. That's buildingafamilylegacy.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says that employers last month announced the fewest job cuts since June of 2000. John Challenger with the organization says the September cuts represent a pace that could end the year with the fewest cuts since before the turn of the century.
The decline brings the 2014 monthly average down to 40,379 per month. If that pace holds, we could see fewer than 500,000 cuts announced this year. That would be the lowest we've seen since 1997.
Job cuts plunged 24% from August to about 30,000 in September. Eastman Kodak says it will eliminate 85 jobs, mostly in western New York, as it transitions to a smaller company focused on commercial and packaging printing. It is the largest number of layoffs since Kodak ended its Chapter 11 bankruptcy back in September of 2013. At the end of last year, Kodak employed some 8,800 people worldwide. This is SRN News. A big push in Washington for helping gain the release of a U.S. Marine jailed in Mexico after accidentally carrying guns across the border.
How dare we
as a nation, hesitate to get that young man back.
Sitting next to the mother of Andrew Tamarisi, former talk show host and retired Lieutenant Commander Montel Williams, pleading with the president to get involved.
Make the call. Make the call today. If you're not going to call President Naido, call this woman.
Williams says it's urgent. Tamarisi's been denied treatment for his post-traumatic stress during his 6 months in prison.
It's not going well.
There is hope Tamarisi could be released on humanitarian grounds soon. Wally Hines, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
In New York, supporters turned out to show solidarity with workers in Hong Kong who are demonstrating against the government there, imposing a political leader they don't want. Meanwhile, those students threatening to occupy government buildings. More details at SRN News.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda, of course, is going to be at Wind River tonight with her band, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, on Romance on the River at Wind River tonight from 7 to 9, singing and entertaining. And, of course, there's going to be a great special menu out there for all of us romantics. And then dancing and the whole enchilada.
Lovely,
you might
evening.
Say. Oh, it's
going to
be great.
Evening.
You know what? She and that band are so good.
They are.
But it is 8:06 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it is 68 degrees in downtown Ready. We're looking at a sunny with a high near 89 today. 59 in the evening. We're going to get sunny and high 92 and 94 by the weekend. So we're going to still be in our sunny stretch here. And weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Our customers are, it's locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts, and you can reach them at 365-3793.
Okay. You know, when we left, we said that Ashley Swearingen was leaving, but we didn't. She's back.
We kept her over. We just had too many questions.
We had a few more questions. Other people were saying, where can they hear you tonight or today?
Where can they hear me? So we've got an event at the Butte County GOP is having an event for us.
Okay.
So perhaps we can throw some information up on our website and make sure people have got that in the area. And then they're welcome to email me off the website or put in a call, and I certainly will follow up and answer any questions they may have.
Nothing right here in Reading, though, today.
Today.
From here, we travel on to a few other local areas, yeah.
Okay. But we're going to try to have her back on, at least on the phone, before the election, right, so that people can have questions and what have you.
If you have a question for Ashley, give us a call, 605-4567. Jump into the chat room and ask questions, too.
When we were discussing in the break, we talked about one of the things that's really distressful for most of us is the amount of businesses that are bailing out of the state of California because of our tax base, because of all kinds of issues. What specifically do you have in mind to address that and stop the bleeding?
Well, there are a couple of things, acknowledging, of course, that it is an enormous problem, that, you know, there's no one silver bullet. But what we learned in Fresno, and I should mention that Fresno is today the number five best job creating city in California. And there were a number of things that we did to support private sector job growth, and particularly focusing on our export industries and people who were selling things outside the area and bringing new wealth to our region. As state controller, first and foremost, the controller sits on the Board of Equalization. Well, a lot of people don't realize that the Board of Equalization is charged with interpreting vague tax legislation that comes out of the state legislature. They make up some rules, they leave a lot of blanks in place, they don't really think things all the way through, and then they hand that legislation off to a board of five people who then have to interpret. And are they going to interpret those laws in favor of the taxpayer, in favor of the small business owner, in favor of the person who's trying to return money back into their business and grow the economy? Or are they going to make those interpretations in the favor of the, you know, the state enterprise? For a long, long time, in fact, I've heard it's been like since 1978, since there's been a pro-business, pro-taxpayer majority on that board. If we can win this seat, there are two other Republican seats on the Board of Equalization, we then would represent the majority and could immediately begin to interpret tax policy in a way that's favorable to our job creators. So that's a specific opportunity for the state controller to play a part.
And a huge issue.
I think a huge issue.
You know, George Renner's been very good for us and very responsive to us up in this area. He's one of the Republicans on that board, and certainly with a little help, I think you're right.
Precisely. And so that's an immediate opportunity, a vote that gets cast every time that board meets. Again, the decision is it in favor of the taxpayer, is it in favor of the state enterprise? And of course, my argument is if you're supporting the taxpayers and the job creators, they're going to grow the economy, and then it benefits the state enterprise, and it allows the state to do the things that we need the state to do. So that's a big deal. The second thing, and it's a little indirect in terms of an economic development initiative, but I've been stressing the importance of a long-term financial turnaround for the state of California. Only when we have addressed our ongoing operations, paid for outstanding liabilities, will we have the resources needed to put the infrastructure in place that supports private sector job growth. And I think that is one of California's most important priorities, is ensuring the infrastructure is in place to support job creators. We don't have the resources today, and we won't unless we deal with the major outstanding liabilities we face.
What you've done in Fresno is very very inspiring to people here in the city of Redding who are trying to do the same things, trying to get their arms around. Unfortunately for us, we are linked to CalPERS, and it's costing us what's the right term to use? A buttload of money.
That's a good term.
That's a technical term. I've heard it before.
It's a Marine term that I've used for many years. The thing about California is, is there anything that you see, because you travel all over the state, that makes you actually believe is that they've seen a light about the fact that so many businesses are leaving, that we're the very last, and by any stretch of the imagination, in any poll with businesses, is the worst place to start up a business? Is any of this starting to resonate?
I actually believe it is. I think it's very early, and it's going to take a while to really continue to grow that understanding. But I hear it, frankly, from many friends of mine who are Democrats, or center left. And you know what it was? It was the Toyota jobs leaving the LA basin.
That was a big thing.
6,500 jobs. And it was just kind of quiet. All of a sudden,
white collar jobs.
They were white collar jobs with a lot of multiplier effects in those jobs, and all of a sudden they're gone. That was the point, and I want to say that was late spring. That was the point when I started hearing mainstream conversation about, oh my gosh, we've got to do something about this business climate. Now, I think we have to fan that flame. And create a coalition of people in the middle, certainly conservatives and pro-business, pro-jobs, people on the right. We've got to reach out to people in the middle and center left and say, look, guys, this is the one thing we can all agree on.
Exactly.
Let's save some of the other fights for later, but let's do something immediately about the job creation environment in California.
I think you're absolutely right, because if we can address that, then those producers produce the money that government needs to run.
Right.
The capital system works. It just always has, and we get the argument from the left that somehow or other the conservative capitalism has failed us. It isn't true.
I totally agree. And the point at which I'm hearing my center left friends say the very same things that we're talking about today, that's really what I'm seeing that's making me think, okay, there's the beginning of a shift. Now, it's going to take those of us in the center right of the political spectrum, we've got to be willing to reach out. We've got to be willing to connect with people.
Got to make that tent a little bit bigger here.
We open arms. And in fact, at the GOP convention a few weekends ago, I was the Friday night speaker, and this was the big thrust of my speech, is that as Republicans, we need to lead the charge in building a coalition of people who want to see reform in state government. And there are people in the middle and center left who are hungry for reform. We've got to talk to them. We've got to work with them and find a way to put common sense reforms on the table.
I think we allow sometimes them to lead the conversation by getting us off on things that we can't agree about ever, and we need to bring the conversation back to the things that we can agree about.
That's very well said. I agree.
Ashley Swearingen has been our guest, running for state controller, and has got our vote. The fact is that, you know, wanting to let government get out of the way for and start building businesses back. And I think it is a coalition. I think that whether you're center right, center left, a little bit further right, a little bit further left, I think everybody can agree is that the state's not going to get any better unless our economy gets better. You know, we can keep, you know, giving away money and, you know, spending it on frivolous things and forgetting our priorities, but it's still – If we bring the economy back, there'll be the money then to bring everything up.
And then we can solve those things we have difficulty getting.
Then we'll have
on.
Options. Today we don't have options. No. We have to pay for our existing obligations. That's it. Yeah.
That's it. But we need to build coalitions of people of different groups but they've all got one thing in common. They want the economy to get better.
I like it. It starts here in Reading. It's the capital of reform.
The capital of reform. That's
there you go.
Us. Right
it starts here.
Here
and we're going to move this actually for controller.
There you go.
Forward.
Okay, one more time. How do they get a hold of you?
My website is Ashley for California, ashleyforca.com.
Super. Okay. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years, and he is a strong economist, too. You know, this is a guy who's a capitalist. And 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for emergencies, Martin and his people. I'll give him a call, 221-2642. Any make of heating and cooling system is going to start getting cooler here, my friends. Make sure that your heating system has been checked. Check out his website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back after these messages with Brad Long, the Veterans Resource Center.
Stakes Indian Bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino on Sunday, October 12th. 12 regular games pay $1,000, plus be the first to cover all and win $10,000 cash. Each three-on Cashenstein special is only $5.
Yeah, you can win 10 grand.
Enjoy breakfast on us. Pre-sales available.
Machines only hands-free. We are 100% smoke-free.
For details, log on to windriver.com. Play Bingo October 12th and win 10 grand. Bingo is better on the river.
No matter what you are craving, you are certain to find it at Wind River Resort and Casino. We invite you to a dining atmosphere all its own, offering three eateries with new menu options, creating the perfect reason to dine out. Come hungry, relax, and enjoy Elements, Rituals, or Creekside Pub and Grill for a delicious, diverse dining experience. Wind River Resort and Casino is proud to provide premier gaming, entertainment, and hospitality with the highest level of service for our guests. We are a 100% smoke-free casino. Log on to windriver.com. Dining is better on the river.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's 68 degrees out there right now. And weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Super day. You know, she was very impressive. Ashley Swearingen. And I tell you what, anybody that can take a, you know, in the middle of all this, of this mess back then, and she turns it around. They're the fifth largest, fifth city in making jobs. She privatizes things. She privatized part of the trash collection. She said we lost the private, you know, house collection, but we got the, got the big bins.
Well, I think if people didn't pick up on the one key issue, the Board of Equalization has a tremendous amount of influence over the tax base in this state. And if that we could control that with a Republican conservative vote, that's huge.
Because you could do it. You'd have a 3-2 vote there and then see what, as she pointed out.
Interpret the laws in favor of businesses.
Laws, because they write these laws with holes big enough to drive a Mack truck through or an Abrams tank. And then the Board of Equalization takes a look at it, and they put any spin on it they want. So why not put a spin on it for us as opposed to the state?
Which, as she indicates, turns around and is beneficial to the state in the long run. Because you got to have a tax base if we're going to continue to give stuff away.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let me see. Well, let's go to our guest, Brad Long, from our Veterans Resource Center. Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
You always look like you're ready. You know what? You're so laid back. I want some of the drugs you're taking.
That's just because I'm tired.
It's not laid back. It's pure exhaustion.
Exhaustion. Well, I can do that. On Fridays, it's usually I get hit on that one. What's going on with the Veterans Resource Center?
We got a lot going on, and that's probably why I'm so tired.
That's good.
We start our new funding this month, the SSVF program, Supportive Services for Veterans and Families.
Right.
This program's been around for 3 years, and in the fourth year, we're looking to be able to help more veterans. Last year, we actually housed veterans, dependents, spouses, significant others, children, over 322 people last year.
Wow.
And so these were people that were either unstably housed or they're in transitional housing, and we're able to get them into stable housing. So that was a wonderful feeling at the end of the year to be able to look at those numbers. This year we hope to accomplish more than that. So that's starting off now. And then we've also got a new program that we're working on. Can't go into a lot of details about the negotiations for the building and stuff, but we have a grant per diem program. And this has been around with the VA for a while. We've got multiple sites in our system, Eureka, Santa Rosa, Sacramento, where we already have the program, but we're bringing it here. We'll be able to have 12 beds for veterans. They're transitional beds. This is for a veteran that's experiencing difficulties. Maybe he doesn't have enough money to go to school and support himself at the same time. And for those veterans that have PTSD or TBI issues and they're going through treatment, then come stay at the Grant Per Diem for free for 2 years. And so this is going to be a fantastic addition to our services here.
Wow.
Okay, so for those that are out there and don't know about your organization. Mm-hmm. Give us a little bit of background about how are you different than, let's say, the Shasta Veterans Office, or what kind of give a basis of your organization. We always assume that everybody knows who we are, and it's not always true.
And you know you're right. Okay, yeah, because and Linda's so good at this, and I'm not, where she says, tell us who you are and how you got here.
Yeah, I mean, just give a little background of your organization.
Because this is
confusing for people to know who.
And you're relatively new here. I mean, it's only been like 3 or 4 years, right?
About three years, on our fourth year. Right. And, in Shasta County, it's very confusing because there's over 80 veterans organizations here.
That was my point, exactly.
And if I could ever unite them under one umbrella, under one fist.
We'd be a mighty force.
Well, we'd rule Northern California.
That's another thing I want to talk about. That's some of the stuff we're working on, trying to put everybody
collaboration
under the same umbrella.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Veterans Resource Center has been around since 1972. We started advocating for the Vietnam veterans when they were coming back, trying to help them get the services that they deserved. Over the years, we've grown from one small site in Santa Rosa to 15 sites now. 13 now, we're adding two this next month between Northern California, Nevada, and Arizona. We have over 140 beds in four of those facilities for transitional housing, behavioral health, drug and alcohol treatment. We have multiple programs. We have back-to-work programs. We have other educational programs, VOTEC programs for our veterans to help them reintegrate. And so we've really grown in the past 4 years.
Private nonprofit, government agency?
Private nonprofit. We work in close conjunction with the VA and the County Veterans Service Office and Bob Dunlap.
Good.
And the there's so many, like you said, there's so many organizations around here, and you've got some are small organizations, some are larger, and they're all a part of the pie. And it'd be what I and it's not just it's also it, you can almost use One Safe Place as a good example, where One Safe Place used to be Women's Refuge, and then there was the fund, the legal or something that they'd started, and I've already forgotten the name of it, but they united to make One Safe Place.
Yeah.
And so all of that is umbrellaed under them. I'd sure like to be able to see something like that happen here.
We've been, it's about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, Mike Wiley started the Veterans Collaborative. And this was concentrated primarily on social services for veterans. And there's a little bit of job networking going on there. And now we're at the point with the collaborative. We do it every 2 months. We've got one coming up this month, October 24th, over at the library from 10 a.m. till 12:30. But now what we're doing with this collaborative, we're starting to pick up some steam with it. We're bringing in the EDD and other veterans-owned businesses to try to start building a large enough organization that's got enough of a common goal to start putting pressure on creating jobs for veterans with the specific intent of putting our veterans out there in the front saying, look, we're good guys, we're good gals, we've got great work ethic, we show up for work on time.
Mm. And we have higher unemployment than anybody else. We have something in the it's well up in the double digits, maybe even to the 20s. I know the county, and I think the city, do both of them give points for veterans? The county does. I'm not sure if the city does or not, and if it doesn't, I was told they do.
In a recent conversation with Rick Ortega, I'm told we're considered a protected class, which I don't know exactly what that means, but we're supposed to have preference when it comes to hiring for state jobs. Potentially that also applies to federal positions. I'm not exactly sure.
You know, federal positions, you get okay. points as a veteran. But I thought the county also.
The county has veterans preference.
Yeah. I
don't know about the city.
I asked the city, and I was told yes. But, you know, maybe I need to call Kurt Storm and ask if that's true or not. Because if not, why?
Mm-hmm.
Because – and then we get into the different things. Well, should veterans and disabled veterans be treated differently? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That you want a short answer? Yes. You want a long answer? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be.
that's
the bottom line. And we're talking about some points on a job. But if it comes down between a veteran and somebody else, and a veteran has they've got the same qualifications, then guess what? The points go to the lien goes into the veteran side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying is that if he's well below the other person or below the other person, that other person should be
all
discarded.
Things being equal.
It's not affirmative action. It's all things being equal, then you lean into the veteran.
And your last guest was touching on forming collaboratives and bringing those. And it's very difficult to get everybody on the same page. And they talked about, I believe you brought it up, about talking about the things in common, the things that we can reach a compromise on.
That's exactly right. And don't get mired down on trying to reach a consensus on things that you're 100 miles apart on.
Yeah, and this is one of those things. The main thrust of my organization is to give resources to veterans to keep them from becoming homeless or alleviating the homeless that they're in. And one of the main problems there is the economic status of our veterans.
Yes.
And what kind of cash flow they can get going. And it's very difficult. I've had some gunners come back, some helicopter gunners come back, that it's like impossible for them to find a job. They're trained crew chiefs and great mechanics on aircraft.
That's what they do.
But they can't work on civilian aircraft without a special and we had this with a medic, also a combat medic.
Okay, now they've gotten waivers now. The state of California is giving waivers to medics and corpsmen that they can be they can get their certificates based on their knowledge and their background. It's got to be looked at, but it should also be the same thing with anybody that's a mechanic or anybody else that works with this. Is that I'm a diesel mechanic. I've been working on diesel engines for 20 years. You know, you should be able to just kind of walk in there and say, "Here I am."
Yep.
The other thing is that lawyers, believe it or not, they've practiced law in the military. They've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases, many more than other people of their age.
And they could argue at the Supreme Court.
They can argue, but they go back into a law firm in their state. No, they've got to go back through the whole thing again. They've got to,
they take the bar exam and the whole deal.
They have to take the bar exam. They've got,
tough.
And here's what it is. They're considered to not be experienced because they haven't been in the civilian courtroom.
Wow.
Mm. Even though it's the same, with most cases, it's the same. We got to take a break here. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. I was just down there yesterday.
Did that cost money?
Of course. It always costs me money when I'm down at Bastiani Arms. But, you know, you never can tell what's ready when it's ready down there. But all types of guns on sale, ammo, optics. You know, you got to put those optics on those rifles there and pistols.
Besides which, it's fun stuff. Can't have too many guns or diamonds.
Too many guns or diamonds. And you go down there, and it's just everybody there is just a hoot to deal with. And John, John is really believes in customer service, and as people believe in it, they're all friendly. It's kind of like the Cheers of gun shops. All down at Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Give them a call at 222-8222. And there's sales going on all the time down there for almost anything. So any type of gun, not automatic weapons, of course. Our guest is Brad Long from the Veterans Resource Center. We're going to take a quick break. Trish Clark and Carl Bach. We'll be right back.
I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
At Cypher Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypher Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks, from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
with the meatballs as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Thursday, October the 2nd. Good morning. 68 degrees out there, going up in the 90s today. Beautiful day. Tonight is big night at Wind River. Don't worry. I'll get to that in a minute. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway there. Take a step back in time. It's the Cheers of barbershops. That's right, the Cheers of barbershops. I said to Bastiani, it was the Cheers of gun shops. Well, the Cheers, the true Cheers, is Cypress Square Barbershop. DC Tim, Logan, or as we call him, the man in black. Man's last stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's the only place I go to get a haircut. Sometimes I go in there and just hide. You know, read, catch up on all the magazines and all that kind of stuff. You know, watch a baseball game.
Okay, you know, you're dating yourself just a bit with the whole Cheers thing because there's an audience out there that doesn't know what you mean when you say that. I do, I think.
Well, you know, I think to myself, okay, I've got, you know, our listeners, 35 and up. Well, that's not true anymore. We've got a lot of people.
We've got
younger people are listening. And you're right because, you know, sometimes I just, you know, and we have young people working for us and I say something, I get this blank look.
I know.
And I think, oh, well.
Okay.
Well, you know,
but they need to go look up Cheers because that was a great show.
Right. That's because everybody knows Carl's name. So when he walks in, everybody says, hi, Carl.
Well, you know. You know, that could be it too. You know, because right now I'm like a bad penny. I show up everywhere, man. I tell you what. Tonight at Wind River, Linda's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. She's going to be in the Elements Lounge. She and her band. It's Romance on the River. It's not too late to go there. You know what? Even if you're not going to have dinner, just to sit there. You know, join us. There's going to be a whole lot of us there. Listen to her sing. We're going to dance. It's going to be a great night. Trish is going to be there.
Oh, it is. And if you know, I got to say it again because a lot of people out there know Linda and Carl here. But if you don't know that side of Linda Bott and the way she performs and she's so talented, you're just missing a great – I mean, this is San Francisco kind of show. And if you're not going out there tonight, you're missing a big good time.
Okay. All right. And that's tonight out at Wind River in the Elements Lounge. Come out and join us. Brad Long has joined us today, Veterans Resource Center. So many things going on. So many things. And we talk about a way of, you know, if we could just get everything under. We need a clearinghouse. Now, you know, frankly, the Shasta County Veterans Service Office should be one of those clearinghouses. I know Bob Dunlap just works and works and works. And by the way, and Bob's leaving us.
Yeah, and they're inundated at the County Veterans Service Office because they do all the disability and pension claims. And
they do a really good job
of work.
They're just overworked.
Wouldn't it be great to have a big building? And in that building, we have the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. We have the Veterans Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
We have offices for AMVETS and Order of Purple Heart and every other little thing there. You know,
yep.
The VA, the clinic, everything could be there. So if one, you could just come in one spot and you can get all of these.
One safe place is the perfect model
for it. It's the perfect model that you could help the veterans with. And, you know, and organize. Because veterans, you know what? People, I constantly run into veterans that when you say something to them, it's just kind of like a blank look.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
You know, those things. So I'm trying to think is, you know, how can we, you know, because we talk a lot about veterans issues. Maybe we need to have a 5-minute segment on Fridays or Thursdays or 10-minute segment, 15-minute segment that just talks about all the things that veterans have.
Do you know, years ago we started a thing for senior services in Shasta County, and it was exactly the same thing. And just in Shasta County government alone, we had like 7 different places that we were taking care of seniors in one aspect or another. And we came up with the Older Adult Policy Council and put everybody in Shasta County together in a room that deals with seniors, whether it's Shasta Senior Nutrition, whether it's Golden Umbrella, whether it's the Veterans Service Office, whether it's Adult Protective Services, Public Guardian, all those people all in one room addressing seniors' issues. It's tremendously effective and cost effective because if you can get rid of some of the bureaucracy that you're paying for and streamline those services so you're not duplicating efforts in 15 different places, that's just that much more money that can go to the population that's being served.
And that's
what needs to happen with veterans.
And everybody wants to help veterans, so they put in money in so many different things. Well, what happens is you end up diffusing money.
You're paying for a bureaucracy here and there. And
we're duplicating efforts.
And you're duplicating efforts.
Even people that are volunteering their time. Things. And, you know, if you've been in the service and you've been, you know anything about unity of effort, putting everything under that one umbrella and you point it forward, you've got so much more power and so much more ability to help.
Veterans should not be in need with all the services that are available. I've got a book that we give out, and County Veteran Service Office also has it. It's about a half inch thick with everything that's available for veterans.
But just finding it is impossible.
It's impossible. And the thing is that there's –
what's
we
it called?
It's just a veteran's benefit book. You can go by County Veteran Service Office. You can go by Homeward Bound. You can go by my office, and you can get this book. And it tells you everything that's available for a veteran. But the problem is, and One Safe Place did a fantastic experiment on referrals. If their client comes in and they get like maybe 6-7 referrals for different things, food, clothing, legal help, medical help, so forth, and they took the average amount of referrals and they took one of their case managers and said, okay, here's a bus pass because most of our clients are going to be having difficulties. They don't have a vehicle. You go out and how long does it take you to get to all these referrals? And it took them 15 hours on a bus, something like that. I mean, Gene could tell us more what that was.
Even if you can get there by bus.
If you can get there by bus, yes.
And, you know, and by the way, that reminds me, RABA is having their annual fundraiser for which they do yearly, and the money it's raised goes to veterans. So veterans can get free bus passes, and that works very well. But you're right. Our bus system is not a friendly bus system. I mean, it's better than nothing,
yeah.
But I couldn't even get from my house, which is if we walked, you know where my house is, I could walk 10 minutes and be here. If I was going to ride the bus, it would take me an hour to get here.
Yeah.
Now, we at my office, we bring in other veterans agencies, and we allow them to use our space to meet veterans. And this is concentrated primarily around homeless issues or unstable housing. But we're just down the street from the VA, so that's a convenient location. And I was hoping to have additional funding this year. Congress, they went on recess, and they didn't allocate the full funding. So we're kind of hanging out there till January until this extra funding might kick in. But the plan was to take the space next door to us and put in a One Safe Place model, where we could have an office space for all these different agencies to come in and park. But we're kind of hung up there right now. So, you know, and we hope that people will come to the Veterans Collaborative and start, you know, expanding on this conversation that we're having.
When's that going to be?
The Collaborative is the 24th of this month, October 24th, and it's going to be at the library in the community.
Okay, so the Collaborative is going on at the same time. We're talking about the war and the Vietnam. We're going to have – the library's got a lot of things going on this month. With the we interviewed the author of the book the other day about going to war. He was a Navy Cross recipient. Has written a book about how you prepare kids for war.
Carl Marlantis,
right? Carl Marlantis was on our show the other day. And I mean, this man is if you're looking for warriors, here he is. But it impacted on him so strongly, it cost him a marriage. It wasn't until later when he was going through another class about something when the psychologist looked at him and said, "You ever heard of post-traumatic stress? You got it." And he broke down crying. And so this is the things that are happening at the library. So having the Veterans Collaborative there is just absolutely wonderful. Mike Wiley used to be the one that rocked on this one, and unfortunately Mike passed away.
This year.
We miss Mike. And but you know, Mike was surrounded by people when he passed away that were, you know, that were there helping, and he wasn't by himself. So and we will miss Mike. I miss Mike. But this is the Collaborative's going to be on the 24th. You know, the thing about it too is that Shasta College has got something going. Simpson is really generating a reach out to veterans. They want to do that. We've got a lot of things going for veterans, but I absolutely believe that we need to have a concerted effort to hire a veteran.
Yeah.
Right here in Shasta County and in Redding, that we put out, you know, We've got all these other fundraisers going on and all these, we ought to have something that's hire a veteran.
Yeah. And the idea with expanding the collaborative to address those issues is let's put a head count on how many veterans here. We roughly know there's 22,000 veterans. Bob Dunlap has some numbers. He believes it's right around 20,000.
At the air show, they were doing a thing trying to register veterans, pick up people that were veterans in the North State.
Mm-hmm. And then we'd like to know how many businesses are veterans friendly. How many businesses give veterans discount, but how many businesses are owned by veterans? So what is the economic impact? What is the dollar total that veterans put down in Shasta County? And then, I mean, and
– Well, we do have list of businesses that will give discounts to veterans, but it's constantly changing that. But the big thing is how many – you know, what you're trying to say is – what is the impact, the financial impact on this county and this city by veterans? And I think people would be tremendously surprised.
I think they'd be shocked.
They would be. I know the numbers that we used to get from the Veterans Service Offices when I was on the board and the amount of money that the Veterans Service Office brings in to Shasta County, I mean, it's astounding.
It's 3-1.
It's a huge amount of money for the amount we're investing in it.
For every dollar they spend on the Veterans Service Office, and they get $3 back, and then that $3 is spread throughout the economy. Mm-hmm. For every dollar that's spent, they get $3 back.
So the more veterans that we can identify and help and put into the system, the more money beneficial comes back into Shasta County that benefits all of us.
Our organization alone is pushing upwards to $500,000 right now that it brings into the economy.
Yeah.
So if you look at all the different money that comes in, plus the veterans' own business and what they generate as far as tax revenue also.
And if we put them to work, then that's they go off of this side of the – go on the other side of the
I think, frankly, that we've got to overcome some – well, first thing we've got to overcome is our break. As soon as we come back from our break, we need to overcome some of the thoughts from people that have negative reactions to veterans, and a lot of it is because of stupid movies or TV shows. They don't understand traumatic brain injury. They don't understand post traumatic stress. They think automatically that and how you like this one? Somebody's going to go postal on them.
Yeah,
you know, of course, which is another
or invade the White House
or invade the White House. Well, you know, frankly. Yeah, he did invade the White House, and it cost the Secret Service director a job. We'll be right back.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, appearing in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino Thursday, October 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us as we recreate the vibe of the great lounge era, where musicians like Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and Bobby Veramentes play the wonderful standards of the great American songbook. Oh, yeah, and me, Linda Bot. I'll be at the mic singing my heart out. Dining, dancing, and a night to make memories. October 2nd in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand. Living on island time, it's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Spark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with Sit-Down Dinner, Live and Silent Auction, and Basket Drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. It's Thursday, October the 2nd, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. A lot of people in the chat room today. Good morning. 75 degrees out there, going up in the 90s today. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Trish Clark, of course, here is with me. Tomorrow, Congressman Doug Lamoff will be sitting right here where Brad is in our studios, and we're going to talk about what's happening back in D.C. We're going to talk about what's happening in the Middle East. We're going to talk about Ebola. We're talking about the upcoming elections. There's so many things to talk about there, you know, and the congressman will be sitting right here with us. Again, want to remind you tonight at Wind River. I know we talk about this a lot, but yeah, I'm all excited about it.
It's going to be great. It really is. I just say, I don't think a lot of people have seen Linda in this atmosphere, and it's a whole different Linda. Very nice.
243-3377. 243-3377. Ask for Elements. Tell them you want to come out there tonight. Brad Long is our guest from the Veterans Resource Center. We're talking about a number of things that are happening this month, especially the Veterans Collaborative. It's going to be October the 24th at the library in the room there. And the library's got a lot of things going on. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
One of the things I'd like to jump in with that, you know, one of the things you talk about is trying to get everybody all together where we could have cooperative office space and what have you. There's a lot of vacant buildings in Shasta County. There's a lot of office buildings sitting out there. You know, perhaps somebody can show up at this collaborative, but with some kind of a plan to maybe fill up one of those buildings and put you people in there at a reasonable rate where we could co-locate some services that would make a huge difference in being able to provide the services.
Oh, we definitely entertain that. And another example besides One Safe Place is when we do the stand down, which is this month also.
When's that going to be?
That's 20. I don't have a calendar. I think it's going to be like the last Friday and Saturday,
right.
Sunday of this month.
We do a remote from there,
mm-hmm.
And they found this a new place to do it, so we're not back in.
And the important thing to remember about that is a lot of people have it in their mind that the stand down is just for people who are down and out, they got to get past that. If you're a veteran. And there's services that you could maybe need or maybe something you could help with or help other people get to that point. We need to have them there as well, not just the ones that desperately need help.
Exactly. And they have dental, they have medical, they have optical stuff there. They have people from county legal services, CPS. They have all these different people that come together in the stand down. And a veteran can walk in there and handle some of the issues that he can't get handled. And he can get them expedited there.
And it's, you know, it's tough to get through. Just the sheer task of trying to get through the phone systems we've created, get transferred 15 times. You can't talk to a live soul. I mean, a person can drive themselves pretty much crazy by the end of a day if you have to make 3 appointments with these offices.
But if we took that model, One Safe Place, or the stand down model, and made that a permanent fixture for veterans. Can you imagine how easy it would be for a veteran to get the assistance that they need?
And the unfortunate part is it's there, and a lot of people are just not knowing how to access it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. So tell us again, the collaborative, how would people get involved with that?
The collaborative, just have to show up. It's going to be from 10 o'clock in the morning till about 12:30. We're going to have 3 presentations there. Guy Venturato from the VA Behavioral Health will tell us about the services that the Behavioral Health portion of VA offers. Also, we'll have Gary Moore from the Calvet Home. He's the public relations officer. He's going to bring us up to speed on the skilled nursing, I believe, that just opened there, and how to be admitted to that and the services they offer. And then the big one, we've got Rick Ortega and another person from EDD coming in to talk about veterans' economic issues. And we're going to bring in a lot of demographic information. We're going to start looking at all the stuff that as far as dollar amounts. What can we bring to bear to put pressure on the politics of Shasta County that we can use to go out there and recruit a company to come in here and open up business and to hire veterans? So that's what we're looking at.
They're looking
back to the same basic thing about creating jobs in this community that will help to solve all of the problems we have, from veterans to homeless to keeping our children home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing, a big thing too is they're talking about a new business is opening up down in Stillwater. And maybe we ought to be able to lean in then on those about having the part of the hiring out there for veterans. Make a big push for veterans.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we're talking about the stand down this year. Or this year is going to be October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So it's going to be a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we'll be down there either the 23rd or the 24th at the stand down, doing a remote from there. Probably Ted Leidy and myself, retired command sergeant major.
And that's down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds down in Anderson, or Sorrow Hall.
Many things that happens. You know, the fact is that with the unemployment rate of veterans this much, let's talk a little bit about the post-traumatic stress and the traumatic brain injury. You know, we were getting all these TV shows and movies about these crazy veterans coming home and shooting up the place because they have post-traumatic stress. Well, post-traumatic stress takes on many, 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 many different facades.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be from a woman who was sexually assaulted to a child that watched his or her mother being abused, from a car wreck, a fire. It could be, you know, somebody getting robbed is post-traumatic stress. So it's not just for the military. Military, and it's on so many different levels. Maybe 20% of the military have post-traumatic stress. Now, my question has always been, okay, well, what were they when they came in? We don't do a study on people when they come in to see if they've got post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. So they have it when they get out, but they could have had it when they came in.
Yep.
So just something else. So, but the bottom line on it is it's very treatable. It can be absolutely cured from people when they come back. And when you go through the questioning of what causes, or if you have post-traumatic stress, it is absolutely interesting. Because I bet there isn't a person in this room right now that if I asked you the questions on that test, that you wouldn't come out with at least 10%.
Yeah. And you kind of have to divide it also. I like to look at it as like there's a portion that's micro trauma, and then there's macro traumas also.
Right.
And we see that the full range. And it's funny, speaking of Mike Wiley again, keeps popping up. His spirit's with us today. But I had a great conversation about this with Mike, and he said, what was the veteran before he entered service, and what was his motivation to join the service? And most of the time, we're motivated to join the service to escape a situation that we're in the first place. And so we might have had some bad upbringing, the environment that we're existing in. Some of the educational stuff that we received was not necessarily good, and there could have been traumas there. And so in order to escape that situation, we joined the military and did not address those issues at all until years after we get out. And then we might have piled some stuff on top of it while we're in the military.
But you still got that baggage you went in there with, and at some point in your life you have to address it, which goes back to the fact that almost any one of us, whether we've been in the service or not, had those same issues, and we need to quit targeting the veteran as being some kind of a crazy person because they went to war, and just address the issues that all of us may have.
I work with them all day long. I have veterans I have 16 to 20 veterans sometimes rolling in and out of my office, and I'm interfacing with them all over the community. And I've never had an issue.
And they're all functional people. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Highly functional.
Exactly. Veterans come back. They've served their country. They've got issues just like the rest of us have.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them move on with their life.
Mm-hmm. And most of the time,
be contributing individuals.
Yeah, and most of the time when I get upset with something, it's because it's overcomplicated. If we go back to that conversation we were having, if we simplified in the military, we're given an objective and we're supposed to use all of our training to get to that objective as efficiently as possible. Here, we like to really complicate things with a bureaucracy to try to justify some stream of income for someone that drives us nuts.
Yeah. And the bureaucracy at all levels of government is what we really need to address and cut through so that we can do what we need to do.
I have one last thing to say about our government because we only got like 30 seconds left. At the stand down every year they have, all these things are happening, but they used to have a court. They have a court there. So that if some of our veterans have had problems with, driver's license or what, mm-hmm. they help them out. I mean, we're not talking felonies. We're talking about getting this thing straight up.
Traffic tickets, yeah.
There will be no court this year due to cutbacks. So the veterans are being cut back again. Mm-hmm. I wonder what are the things they're not cutting back at the
I bet they still do it for illegal aliens.
I bet they do, too. but they're not doing it for veterans. We'll need to call it court. Hey, tomorrow, Congressman Doug Lamoff will be with us in the studio. Also, breast cancer awareness. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Public health officials in Dallas are keeping a close eye on 80 people watching for any signs of Ebola, and four close relatives of the Texas Ebola patient being ordered to stay home until there's no question that they are Ebola-free. Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt University Medical Center says those who may have traveled with the Ebola patient from Liberia to the U.S. need not worry.
People with Ebola infection only become infectious to others when they become sick. So I could have been sitting next to that person on the plane, and I would have no concern.
So far, no one who came in contact with Thomas Duncan in Dallas is showing any symptoms of Ebola. The total number of Americans collecting unemployment is at its lowest level in more than 8 years, 2.3 million. The Labor Department says 8,000 fewer people applied for jobless benefits